money. Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. If you're listening to us in the morning, this is the show where Dave and Reb talk about the hard issues of money. I'm Dave.
I'm Reb.
Yes. And we are in kind of a continuing conversation around, I would say, your Genesis money story or some of the Genesis principles around the money story.
That's new language.
Beginning Genesis.
We're taking a high level look at the financial fitness seminar, which is the underlying first step we do at More Than Enough. When someone calls and says, "Help, what do? We say, "Come to the financial fitness seminar," which is in September, the fourth Tuesday of the month online. So all you have to do is go to morethanenough.ca and click on the seminar button at the top right corner. Mm-hmm. And it's an online. In COVID, we went online and we've never went back because people from all over the place come and watch it, different time zones and all of that. And you are welcome to come, but we also have the financial fitness seminar, which again is the first steps toward financial health and wellness.
First step is Genesis.
I know Genesis. There you go. You just threw me for a loop. Okay. I don't know. Yes, the Genesis steps, your beginning steps. I don't know. Anyway, toward financial health and wellness. And we use these I do get a little bugged by throwing out the words. Like last week we were like, "Get your house in order." And I'm like, is there a new way we can say this?
I don't know. I am going to pause you there and give a shout out to notmind.ca.
Because you also took the first steps into the discussion and you didn't give the sponsor.
There we go. So if you're a guy listening to the show, then you now see what happens in terms of when you don't say the right things with your wife and she's organizing the show. So let me step back and just talk about notminds.ca.
Oh my goodness.
Please go visit the website, notmind.ca. If you are looking for resources, specifically biblically based resources that deal with money and the topic of money and again, all kinds of, I won't get into that. Thank you to Financial Discipleship Canada, the sponsor of notmind.ca, but also, as you may have heard and seen if you listen to the show, Ray Borg is on often enough as a regular guest.
And he's not here to call us into order today.
He's not here, but here we are. So thank you, notmind.ca, Financial Discipleship Canada, and all the good work you do. And again, the partnership that we have in sponsoring the show.
But going back to that, so we're talking about these next steps, the beginning. Right. If you're not knowing where to start, we at More Than Enough will send you to the Financial Fitness Seminar. If you do not, as I was saying before we talked about the sponsor, on our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Money with Dave and Reb, we have the seminar, and I'm going to have it in today's show notes. And today we're continuing the discussion from last week when we were talking about what's behind what we talk about at the seminar. It's a high level look. We're asking Dave, who I said last week could do it in his sleep. He's done it for so many years. Again, this was something started by Lynn Fraser and Ken Decker before More Than Enough coaching was ever a thing. Seminar was what Lynn Fraser and Financial Fitness, she did a podcast and she did this seminar every month for people to come to.
And we still, talking about beginning, I mean, I still consider this a gift to the community that we have been literally giving to the community in the Ottawa area. And now we get to expand that virtually, but it's a gift of information to the community, which, our hope is that when you give a gift away, people will use it, they'll take it and it will change their life. And so this is one of those gifts that really just in honoring the length of time that we've done that is huge.
Yeah, and we have had stories. We've had a couple people on the radio show over the years who didn't come for coaching, but actually came to the financial fitness seminar. And that was the start. I remember years ago getting an email randomly from a person I don't know saying, thank you, I'm debt free because of that seminar. So it is possible. And last week we talked about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm thinking also of the verse when Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, you know, it's impossible for the rich to get into the kingdom like a camel going through the eye of the needle. Remember that passage? And then the disciples are like, well, who then can be saved? Yeah. And Jesus says, with man, it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. And it's just that idea that because we walk with him, in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, Paul says, you know, I have learned to be content with plenty or with little, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like, where do I start? If you feel like the world's coming at you, like I often do at 90 million miles an hour, and you're like, I can't take any more. Would you just stop and listen to the show or go onto YouTube or take a moment and click on the link to come to the seminar? And that's all you have to do.
Right.
Actually.
Grab a coffee, maybe.
Coffee so, is good. So here you go. You know what? I would say you don't even have to listen to any more. If this is overwhelming for you, just go click on the link right now and sign up. Right. And commit to coming on September, I think it's September 24th, and commit to that. Or commit to putting in your calendar to watch the video. And that's all you have to do. Don't think about it again. Just put it in your calendar and know that that's what you're doing. Or
put it as your screensaver, you know, so that when you're going to go watch Netflix and you're like, financial fitness seminar. Okay, I'm going to watch that on YouTube. You know, if you're scrolling through YouTube right now, then stop, go look at the seminar and take the time.
Because I know, I'm speaking from experience, all of this information can be overwhelming. But if you just make one little choice, and right now that is just to go sign up, then go do it and you can turn the show off. But we are going
to... Don't tell them that.
Well, no, it is.
They've already left.
Right. Okay. For those of you who are still here, I'm just saying when it's overwhelming, you don't want Dave and Reb talking to you about how to get your house in order. Like you just don't want
and
that.
Today we are getting a little bit into the
nitty-gritty. So, because we talked about last week, why do we talk about purpose? Why do we talk about having a direction? Why do we talk about facing our finances? We looked at that and you gave some great reasons about pain, purpose, and pleasure, and you can go listen to that. But today, then we get into, in the seminar and into this journey of, okay, what do we do practically to actually move ourselves toward our goals? And maybe you have debt as an obstacle. Maybe you have very little savings. Maybe your income isn't what you'd like it to be. And now we're starting to talk in this seminar about facing your finances and tracking your spending. So talk to me about the importance of really knowing, like, what is tracking your spending and what difference does that make?
So tracking your spending is really just a tool to help you become financially aware.
Okay.
You know, in this current environment that we have here in North America, you know, the shift has gone from tactile significantly. I had $20. I had that in my pocket. I mean, I can remember as a young kid, you know, it's like I had the money in my pocket. I knew that I only had that much to spend, and that was it. So, you know, when I went to the store and I was going to buy that candy, I stood there looking at the plethora of options, and then I'm looking at the money in my hand and I'm going, this is the only money I have to spend. It was tactile.
Right.
I did the exchange. I got some things and I had to make a choice, and sometimes really difficult choice.
Yeah, but you know what? Even in the tracking, I'm just going to say, with that money in your pocket, you did have that little checkbook. We talked about that a little while. And you went and jotted.
I didn't, right?
I did. I had the checkbook and I jotted down. I just took cash out and I spent it on this.
Right.
And so I keep track of
Reb's
it.
Reb's older than me, so she had that. I had already pivoted to some of that more technical stuff.
Just so saying, Dave did turn 54 3 days ago. So just saying, it was his birthday.
25 again. So all that to say is we've pivoted now to really an environment where we are disconnected from really what's going on. And so figuring out a tool to reconnect you. And that's really what tracking is. Essentially, it forces you to acknowledge the spending you're doing at the moment that you're spending. And so I'm going to give you, because when I say tracking, a lot of people think about, oh, I'll look at my bank accounts and I'll kind of do a tracking
just
like that.
Thinking that.
That's not what we're talking about here. We want to have the real time tracking, which means, you know, when you make a purchase, ask for a receipt, take 10 seconds, even less than 10 seconds, look at the receipt and acknowledge the dollar value, the amount at the bottom of the receipt. The idea here is that you are tracking in real time. We're trying to reconnect that feeling and that awareness that we need, because again, we get to tap, we get to Stripe, we get to, you know, put the, you know, the, whatever the card is, and it doesn't matter if it's a debit card or a credit card, it doesn't matter. That action, and I've done this thousands of times, no, I don't need the receipt, no, I but then I walk out of the store quite literally 3 minutes later, not even 3 minutes later, and I can't remember how much I just spent. And I have no idea if that fits into our spending plan or not, because I have a spending plan. A lot of you have told me that, like, I have a plan and it just doesn't work.
Well, that's interesting. So why doesn't it work? Because we're actually not paying attention to the, and we're using our
real time.
So I was just going to say, I've had a stint in the last little while, let's just say, this is my big confession, you know, where I wasn't tracking with their spending plan. And so then you use your bank account as your tracking tool, it
doesn't work. Let me talk about that, because there's some practical things on what this looks like.
Okay.
So if you've got an app that you are using for your budgeting or for your planning, great. I will suggest you disconnect it from your bank account so that you don't get those automatic deposits in there. And here's why. And I'm going to just walk that out. You're at the grocery store, right? So you go, okay, I just paid for whatever it was with the debit card, with the credit card, whatever, however method of payment, even if you did it with cash, whatever method of payment it is. Again, you walk out to the car with the receipt. You sit down in your car and you take 10 seconds and you input that amount in your app under the grocery line item. You've got it there. You made the plan. To be able to do that in real time immediately also gives you the, hey, this is how I'm doing on the plan right there and then. Sometimes we talk about this within the context I say you walk into every store that you're buying things knowing how much you're going to spend on this visit ahead of time.
Right.
And again, this is all related to tracking. It's all related to reconnecting you with the money that's going in and out of your bank account in real time.
So can I get some clarity? You're saying disconnect your bank
from the app.
From the app. But then you can go into the app and do it manually? Is that possible?
Correct. Absolutely. Okay. In fact, most of the free versions of those apps, that's what you're paying for, is the integration of your bank account so that it makes it easier to input all that data into the app. The reality is, and you don't have to, again, I'm going to say this out loud on the podcast, so it'll be here forever, but when we talk about tracking, it is about awareness. And eventually, you're going to get to 2.0 and you might say, okay, now we have a regular rhythm. I'm very aware. Reb and I are communicating very well about money. I can now bring in that automation and say, you know what? It does make it easier. It does take less time to do it. But what I have found, and this is in a sense across all of the clients that we've worked with over the years, is starting with the manual inputting and doing that because of the awareness that it brings. It will allow you to make real-time money decisions on your day-to-day spending and know exactly whether you're on track with your spending plan or whether you need to make an adjustment to your spending plan. And so, you know, from a tracking perspective, some of these things, like I said, the grocery store, it takes 10 seconds to open the app, to put the amount in, to look at what's in. Hopefully the app is more like an envelope app, and there are some of those that are out there, and we won't get into. We're going to do a show.
We are. I was going to say in a few weeks.
So we've got that show coming. But the reality is it is, if this app is not making you more aware, if the app is not giving you the information in real time to make right money decisions around, okay, this is all the groceries that I'm going to spend this week. These have to last the week because we're getting paid on Friday and it's Monday. And this is all the grocery money that I get. And when the kids on Wednesday say, hey, mom, can we go out and pick up? And in our house, it's a tub of ice cream. You know, that's what it is. You know, we'll specifically go to the grocery store for the tub of ice cream. You're going to say, no, sorry, the app says that, the plan says that we got to wait till next week. Okay. And hopefully there's enough that you can work with the kids.
So why is this tracking? Again, let's just, in one sentence, why is the tracking so important, relevant, significant?
Awareness, awareness, awareness.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. All right. So then we get from tracking into what? Now, what are we doing?
So the assumption with tracking has two benefits, right? One, it's going to give you a baseline for creating a plan.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, we talked about awareness, awareness, awareness. Well, part of that information gathering is then to say, oh, this is my baseline spending. And I can create a plan. So again, when somebody comes into More Than Enough, we want to quickly get through this phase where we're going to create a plan that you can live on and not kind of a fictitious averaged out plan of things that I spent over the last 12 months. Like that. No, we want to create a plan that you can live on from today for the next period of time going forward. And that period of time might be till the next paycheck. It might be a month out. It might be 2 months out. We don't generally plan more than eight weeks.
Not more than 8 weeks.
And the reason for that is because we can't plan.
And the More Than Enough spending plan tool that we have, which is hands-on and all of that, is an 8 week.
Sure.
It's an 8 week.
And again,
cycle.
The realization that most of us as human beings are very accurately tell me, if I said, what are the things you're going to spend money in the next 8 weeks? You would have a pretty big list. If I said, what are you going to spend money in December? You're going to go, Christmas. Like, you know, that's going right. to be the one thing, right? Which is not
Which
true.
Some of us should be saving for. Anyway, okay. So then we've got a plan in place. We sit down and we're not talking about a financial date here because the financial date shows we've done. Mm-hmm. You're sitting down, you're making a plan, and then you're working on building an emergency cushion.
So part of that, part of the tracking, part of the result of that is going to be I need to capture some money for these financial goals that we have. And the first financial goal we always have is get an emergency cushion in place.
Right.
What does that look like?
So you can come to the podcast. You can come to the financial seminar to learn about that. We've done podcasts on emergency cushion. But what is significant about an emergency cushion? Why have that spot with $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000? What's the significant about that?
So what's really interesting about the emergency cushion is it is a universally good idea. But what it looks like is very different. So if you go into the bank, typically the bank, you know, as a young person going into the bank and saying, hey, I want some financial education. A bank looks at it from the perspective of, hey, we want to sell you credit. That's how they make their money is they sell money. So they're going to say, you need a credit card and a line of credit for the just in case. So you need to have your emergency cushion and it's going to look like this. It's going to look like a credit card or it's going to look like a line of credit. And that's the advice you'll get from the bank.
Okay.
Right. Where if you come, you know, kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, I look at it and I go, well, we need to actually build our own emergency cushion and self-fund that. And there's a couple of really good reasons for it. Because, again, if I go back to the bank, if I have an emergency, then that's because there's something that's happened that I don't have the money for now to take care of. So I'm going to go get that. And I'm going to use a credit card or a line of credit to do that, which means now that emergency is compounding against me.
Right.
I'm going to pay interest on it.
Right.
Right. So now the emergency is actually getting worse.
Yes.
Financially. Right. Whereas if we have our self-funded emergency cushion, some money that is sitting in a bank account, yes, we suggest you put it in an account that's going to generate some a little bit of interest, hopefully. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to lock it into anything. It's not an investment. It's more like insurance, right? Like it's the what if happens. So we get the emergency cushion in place. It's when I don't use it, it's rewarding me for not using it.
You know, another way you could look at it, I know we don't talk about it, is that it's an envelope for emergencies.
Sure.
You know, if people like idea of the envelope or the wallets and you're giving every dollar a name. So you're giving these dollars emergency dollars.
Sure.
Really.
Yeah,
that's what you're doing.
That's part of the plan is you would go.
But that's okay. Something we do first. We build that up so that when an emergency comes, because we've learned, and you'll come to the seminar, you'll hear how this all translates and what
emergencies happen.
Yeah. It's just, everyone knows that. Again, right. So it's so interesting. So
this is why it's a universal good idea.
Right.
Because everybody acknowledges that emergencies happen that we just can't plan everything.
You know what's mind-blowing to me? No one ever told me about this growing up.
Right.
Like, I'm 55. No one...
was assumed. Emergencies happen. It's just part of life.
I was told to save, give, spend, which we have three jars for.
Sure.
And I mean, maybe we should throw in a fourth jar for our kids, the emergency jar.
Well, that's in the saving jar.
I know. I guess it is for them. But to talk about it, to actually show our kids, I'm thinking about this right now. We've never talked about this, but to actually show our kids physically, emergencies are going to happen. So we're always going to put, like, you know, even 25, 50 cents or whatever it is.
That savings? And again, this is a whole different show.
I know. How do you break down?
How do we break down the savings? But part of your savings needs to be an emergency cushion,
right?
And
how do we teach our kids? So next, another show. Anyway,
I
got to write that down or re-listen to this. So okay, so we've got the emergency cushion. We know why it's important. It's a universal good idea, Dave says. So there we go. Then we start paying down our debt if we have debt.
Right. So, you know, and again, this goes back to the first show that we did last week where, you know, what is the purpose, right?
Right.
So this tracking, getting an emergency cushion in place, this is, again, universal, right? Like no matter what your goal is, these things need to be in place to help accomplish that goal, you know? And now you might say, you know, my purpose is, you know, I want to... let's say I want to buy a different house or I want to buy a cottage. Maybe that's the purpose, but you recognize that the debt is in the way, is actually stopping you from doing that, right? Or maybe you just, you know, I hate, that's not a good word either, right?
But what are you trying to say?
Interest always bothered me. Paying interest always bothered me because I'm like, the person I'm paying interest to didn't really do anything to earn that interest. And that went against you work hard, you make money, and that's how you earn money. And it seemed to me that if I was paying interest to somebody, that they didn't really work for it. And why should I pay that?
Right.
So that's just my personal bent around debt and interest. And that's why that was a motivator for me to not pay interest so I wouldn't go into debt for that. Right. So that was a motivator for me. So, you know, when we talk about paying off debt, if you see debt as a something in the way, and we often talk about debt in light of being a burden. Right. So if I'm going to that destination and I want to get, you know, buy that cottage, whatever the goal is in terms of financially, debt is going to slow you down. It's going to be a burden. And again, this flies in the face of a lot of financial advice that we get that says you should use someone else's money to get you to that cottage. Like you should, So again, and then you're going, well, now I'm confused. You know, do I pay down debt? Do I not pay down debt? Do I use someone else's money? And how do we, again, so you know, we're not, there's a whole lot around that.
We're bringing up way too many ideas.
There's a whole lot around that. Our, in this case, as we talk about the simplicity of, we know that debt is a burden. We know that, you know, our philosophy and our goal for you is to live as free as you possibly can. And that means reducing your debt or eliminating your debt. That's going to free you up to do a whole bunch of things. And for those of you that are out there that are going, I'm not sure, I'm just going to ask the question, and this is where we go in the seminar. The end of the seminar, we show that you've got about $2,100, $2,200 of free money that you were paying an interest cost and paying down your debt with. And the end result is now I'm living the same life that I have, but now I have $2,100 a month to be able to spend on something else. And it's not being spent on debt.
Right.
And the question I'll ask this morning is simply this, is how many people would love to have $2,100 of money that they don't, that isn't allocated really anywhere because it was allocated towards their debt and now they don't need it and they can use it for another purpose. And I'm speaking to the Christian community. I don't know how many times I've had Christians say, you know what, I would give more if I didn't have this debt. And I know that's true because we have done the statistics and we have the information, the data here in our own little database and more than enough to say that is absolutely true. I've calculated it. And when debt is extinguished, people are more generous. They are. And so for me, there's a couple of really good reasons to get rid of debt and to make that one of the things.
Well, and that's one of your life purposes and direction is to encourage encourage us all to
live debt free.
To live debt free, so that what we have we can give freely without strain or stress, and we're not giving out of our debt. We're giving out of out of what God's given and stewarding what He has given. And so I guess just to recap, I mean, there's a lot here. We just encourage you to come if you don't know where to start. Start with a financial fitness seminar. Come and learn about that, and then see where the next steps take you. And know there are some good reasons why we teach what we teach, and there are good reasons why God told us to get out of debt and to get our house.
And you don't have to believe it, Dave and Reb.
No,
Listen to the podcast. We've had lots of guests on that have just in their own experience experienced it.
Yeah. So, Father, thanks so much for today, for your generosity and your grace towards us through the life of Jesus, through your presence, through the gift of your Spirit. Father, will we dig into you as we walk out our financial journeys and talk to you about what's going on in our hearts and minds and our bank accounts. And I just pray this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for joining us on the show. If you've hung out this long, thank you. And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.